Can you hear me?
Good one. All right. Well, good evening. It's nice to be here. You guys are the first people to hear me preach since I got married. So I might be a little rustic, but just bear with me. A lot of people are new faces from Wednesday night. So people keep asking me, where are you from? Where are you from? Anyways, just quick give a update on or touch on a recap. What I said Wednesday night. I'm Job Hale. This is my wife, Bethany. She's from Florida. I'm from Alaska. I've been in Alaska for 22 years. She's been in Florida for 21 years, and she lived there all of her life. She grew up in Crestview, Florida, which is near Pensacola, if most people know where that's at. Her dad was pastor 26 years of Crestview Independent Baptist Church. And she grew up there, and her sister and brother-in-law and their kids moved to Alaska about 10 years ago. They moved here about 6 years to Alaska. Here I am looking at my wife again. Alrighty. And anyways, they moved to Alaska about 6 years ago and moved to Bethel. Well, out to Bethel area about 3 years, 3.5 years ago, they moved out to a village nearby me and started a church, Independent Baptist Church, and I was involved with kind of encouraging them along and involved helping them and stuff at the beginning, became good friends with them. In 2018, we met out there in St. Mary's. She came up to visit. I didn't know she was coming. I went out there to visit them. It got weathered in because I couldn't fly out. I'm a pilot. Lord provided me with an aircraft and to do mission work and my pilot's license about 5 years ago. And so I got weathered in. She showed up. The Lord was in control of the weather and in control of our relationship and brought us together. And she's excited and looking forward to doing mission work alongside me. And been really encouraging to have her just behind me now. It's been a lot different. But very exciting and good, and I've been really enjoying it. We can have each other now to encourage each other and do work together and have a much more deeper outreach than I had before. Anyway, so now a little bit about me after talking about us. I come from a family of 15. I originally lived in New Mexico, way up about 9,000 feet in the Rocky Mountains with all 15 of my brothers and sisters. We lived off the land, stayed away from the world, didn't see anybody for all year around, pretty much just lived way out in the middle of nowhere. Anyways, we moved to Alaska in 1998 to try to get more remote, but that was not possible. We actually just got less remote when moving to Alaska because you can't really get remote in Alaska and still survive. And eventually, long story short, my dad went to jail in 2003 and died in jail a couple years later. When my dad went to jail, a family in Palmer took us in, which Palmer is about an hour northeast of Anchorage, if you know where Anchorage is at. And that's where I kind of grew up since I was 12 years old. They took us in and started showing us the light of Christ and what that meant. And so there's 15 of us and there's 9 of them. So it was quite a big houseful. And then the Lord got a hold of me about 6 months after moving in with that family. Us boys were in our bedroom. There was about 9 boys living in one little bedroom. And one of my brothers accidentally fired a pistol off and shot into the concrete wall. Well, it passed my head about 1 foot, and that shook me up and caused me to think if I had died, I would have gone to hell because I knew I wasn't going to heaven, and I never had professed in Jesus Christ in my heart. And so that really rattled my boat, and the gunshot should never happen. No gun was allowed in the house loaded, and he thought he unloaded it, but it was loaded, and he made a mistake. And anyways, but God used that bullet as to get a hold of me and to shake me up. And I started thinking about hell, and I started crying laying in my bed. And one of the adopted brothers heard me and called me out of the room and said, "Hey, what you crying about?" And I'm like, "I'm scared I'm going to hell." and he told me about Jesus Christ. He told me that Jesus died for me on the cross, and he loves me, and all I have to do is ask him into my heart, and he will save me. And he quoted Romans 10:9-10, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I'm like, yes, I want to do that. And I got on my knees there, and I cried out to God and asked him to save me, and he did. And he came into my heart and took that burden of sin away, and just the presence of the Lord just filled my life and my heart, and I just almost could feel the God's presence, and it was just such amazing. And I never doubted it since, and every opportunity that came up, I pursued ministry work or whatever God wanted to do. I got baptized 2 days later because there was actually a baptism planned with our church 2 days after, before I got saved. So it was like perfect timing. The Lord just woke me up right then and said, I want you to get saved, and I want you to get baptized immediately. And that was a huge blessing. And so skipping over a few years, so when I was 18, I started working for my older brother doing construction work. I was a part business owner of my dad's license, and then we were going to villages all over the state of Alaska doing construction work. And my brother got a bid with state of Alaska reciting a school in the Pontiac, Alaska, which is downriver from Bethel, about 15 miles. And Bethel is 400 miles west of Anchorage, so it's about an hour flight out there on Alaska Airlines, which they fly out there. Bethel has about 6,500 people in it. Napakiak has 300. Most of the villagers are about 300 people. There's 56 villages surrounding Bethel that Bethel supports. So if anybody has medical issues, they come into Bethel. Or groceries and everything goes out from Bethel. It's all comes into Bethel and then distributes out. So Bethel's a huge hub, and that's where everybody transfers back and forth. To get to Anchorage, they come to Bethel, because that's where Alaska Airlines flies to. So there's 56 villages. There's only three churches in all those 56 villages. There's probably 35,000 people in that region, possibly even more. And it's very unreached. And it's very hard to live in because it's all flat in just swamp area. It's all swamp. There's water everywhere. So you can't just drive. Bethel has a total of 14 miles of roads. So there's 6,500 people living on 14 miles of roads. So it's a lot of people compact in one area. And then all the villages are about 300 on average people. So they go up and down a little bit. Anyways, so we got the job in Pontiac. When I landed there on the ground to start doing work, I had my Bible and storybooks and songbooks for the kids. And I knew that the Lord called me to do ministry there. And I was going to take the opportunity to do whatever I could. And so every day after work, we would play with the kids and tell them Bible stories and build relationships with the people. And eventually that kept up. And then after we left, they wanted us to come back. So we came back every other month about, and went out through the winter and everything. And then next year we started a garden for the village. And it was about 10,000 square foot garden, about 4,000 pounds of potatoes each year come out of that, and the whole village gets all the potatoes that they want, and it's about between 40 pounds to 100 pounds in each house they get, and they last all the way to April. Some people still have them, so it's utilize it very well, and it helps with the staple to make moose soup and caribou soup and all that stuff, and baked potatoes and fried whatever thing. So anyways, that was a huge help to interact with the people, because now I know all 300 people in the village, everybody personally. I probably can remember most of their names, but not all of them, but they know my name. When I show up, they pretty much know immediately, and the word goes around pretty quickly that I'm there for they're doing VBS. We do VBS throughout the summer and do the garden, and it's a huge blessing. And then in 2016, I moved to Bethel. So I was going out there as a single man, and I started talking to the church because there was people getting saved. After about 3 years, people started getting saved, and they needed a disciple, somebody to disciple them, somebody to guide them, because they had no church. And so nobody would go out there, or nobody had the burden. God kept laying that burden heavier and heavier on my shoulder. So the elders of the church came to me and said, hey, why don't you go? And I'm like, really? me as a single man go out there, and they suggested I go to Bethel because I had got involved with the Independent Baptist Church in Bethel prior to moving to Bethel. And so I was like, okay, I can go to Bethel. I can start my own business. I can support myself. I can be accountable to the church and be there and then work from there. And I go down there each week and take somebody with me from the church and go do Bible study with them and disciple them. So I picked up everything. I sold everything in Palmer. And I moved to Bethel. And that was the best decision I ever made. That was the second to getting saved. That was, I have never felt so much peace in my life. When God said, go, and I said yes, there's like this huge flood of peace over my soul. And I knew for sure that that was what God wanted me to do. And I'm so happy. There's nowhere else I would be happy. Even though Bethel is not the most attractive place, it's the least attractive place in all of Alaska, honestly. Don't come there if you want to see anything. But if you want to come there to help out and see God's work, then it's a beautiful place, and the people are beautiful. But there's nowhere else I'd rather be. My heart's there. I mean, I lived in Palmer. I lived in like 20 different places in Alaska, and by far everywhere else is more prettier, but it doesn't matter because my heart's there, and it's the most beautiful place because my heart's there, and my heart wouldn't be anywhere else. So that's the most beautiful thing about it. And so 2016, we had the privilege of baptizing 12 believers in the river there. 45 degree water right there in the river in June 2016. And that was a really big blessing. And the Moravian Church, is the church that's there, persecuted us really heavily, tried to stop the baptism, everything they could, but they couldn't because the people that were getting baptized told them, sorry, the Bible says I have to get baptized. I got saved and I have to get baptized. And they said, well, you were baptized as a baby. You don't have to get baptized. They said, no, we have to get baptized. And I was really proud of them for doing that. And after that, they started sharing the gospel. This is why I got baptized, because I got saved. And the Bible says you must get baptized after you get saved. And though that was really neat. And it started bringing other people to the Lord. And that was a really big testimony. Anyways, there's still a lot I'm skipping over, but 2 years ago, the Lord provided a building to us through the city of Napakiak, because I'm friends with everybody. They offered to give this building to us that was given to them by the National Guard, because it was an old building that's been sitting there forever, and it was going to wash in the river. And the National Guard wanted it off of their hands, and so they gave it to the city, and the city wanted it off their hands, and so they gave it to us. And so we were like, yes. And so we moved it uptown so it didn't wash in the river. And we started working on it and caulked up all the holes on the outside and everything because it was leaking and rotting things out. So we got all the holes caulked up. I got everything to finish the inside except for chairs. It's the only thing we need to start meeting in it. I'm not done with the work inside. We're almost done. We got everything painted. We got to get the flooring down, the kitchen in, the bathroom done, and the entryway done, and then we can start meeting in it. Except being gone, a few kids vandalized it and broke a couple windows out, I guess, or one of the windows that we just replaced. So it's kind of, there's a lot of people that watch out for us, watch it out, but there's just a few teenager kids that just are up to no good, and they like to break glass. That's what they like to do. So anyways, you can pray for them. And trying to think what I left out. So right now, as we stand, Bethany and I are moving back to Bethel. I have a place in Bethel, a house. We're living in Bethel until about the end of the year, and we're hoping to move to Napakiak if we have a place to stay. And right now, we just have the church building, but we don't have any other place to stay. So we are hoping to add an addition onto the back or parsonage or rent a house or something. We really want to get down there into Napakiak. We really don't want to stay in Bethel for very long. We can travel back and forth, but it's going to be hard. So we're trying to get a place to that. So you can pray for that. But anyways, right now we're on our honeymoon. We're trying to go through Canada tomorrow. If you can please pray for that, because there's about 50% chance that we'll make it through, maybe even less than that. Because everything I've looked up, I don't know if Alaska residents are qualified as essential travel. And I can't get a hold of anybody to tell me that's for sure. But we're going to drive up there and see. If we have to turn around, I guess we'll know where to come. So anyways, well, I think that's probably pretty good on recaps, maybe more of a recaps than I did on Wednesday. But let me get into the message tonight and just ask the Lord to guide us. The title of the message is Thy Word. We're going to be mostly in Psalms 119 and a few verses there. So let me just open in prayer here. Dear God, I come before you tonight, Lord. We are very, very grateful to be in your house tonight and to be fellowshipping with one another. And I pray that your word will sink into each one of our hearts and that you'll loose my tongue to speak freely your word and to be an instrument and tool for you. Thank you for your preserved, precious word of God that you've given us. We take so for granted that you preserved your word for us to read so we can hear from you every single day. And we thank you for that, and we pray that each one of us today will see the importance of your word and to see how it fits into our daily life. And I pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So, first of all, let's go to Psalms 119, verse 9. And I got to say that this is my, I guess, kind of my life verse because it keeps me on track. And it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So we see here that a young man cleanses his way by taking heed to according to God's word. And that you probably guessed that's why it's my life first, because first of all, I want my way cleansed before the Lord every day. I want my way and the direction I go to be pure, to be cleansed, and to be right. So how do I accomplish that? And that's a question that all of us have. We probably all really want to please Jesus. We probably all will have something in us that want to go after Jesus, unless we're rebelling against God and rebelling against that urge to do that. And there's times that we do that. We rebel against God, and we don't really want to be cleansed. We don't really want to go that direction. But we want, if we want our way to be cleansed, we want our way to be right, we want to know that we're going the right direction after God, and that it's pure. He says, be holy as I am holy. So we are to be just striving to be holy like Christ is. Can any of us actually be holy like Christ? No, not in this body, in our spirit, in our soul, because he created a new soul in us. But we, in our body, we can't actually be holy, but we strive to that. And that's a goal. All, when you're running a race, you have a goal to finish, right? Well, our goal in life is to be holy like Christ is holy. That's our goal. That's what we strive for. We may never reach that until we get to heaven. We won't reach that until we get to heaven because we'll have a glorified body. And then we'll be holy like he is holy. So wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And it says, it answers that question. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So it's God's word that cleanses our way. So if we listen and obey God's word, it will cleanse us. It will purify us. The taking heed is a next step than just listening to it. Or it just, oh, that sounds really good. Yeah, I like that saying in the Bible. I like what that says. But you don't take heed to it. Taking heed is action. Is obeying. It's like, okay, God says for me to go talk to people about Jesus. Go soul winning. I'm going to go soul winning. That's taking heed to God's word. That's saying, okay, God says it, and I'm going to do it. Listening, you can hear it every day. You probably hear preachers preach every day or three times a week. But do you actually act upon that message? You actually act upon the message of God that he's speaking to you. Taking heed to God's word. And that's why I want to challenge us all tonight. Are you taking heed to God's word? Are you obeying it? We have to listen and then we have to obey. You have to take it in and you process it and then you take action on that. So taking heed. And then the next verse says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Have you sought God with your whole heart? Have you really sought God with your whole heart? Do you really want to know who God is? That your whole heart is not a piece of you. Like, okay, I'm going to take half of my heart and seek God today. Or I'm going to take a portion of it and seek God today. Or are you seeking God with your whole heart? Do you want to know the full counsel of God? Or do you want to just make it by that day? It's more than just making it by. When you have a heart to seek after God with a full heart, you can have so much more joy and happiness in life because you're experiencing God in a full way. When you got half of God you're experiencing every day, if you can have such a thing, it's like you're almost miserable because you're like right on the titter-totter fence. You're on the fence, not really knowing which way you're going. You're scared you're going to fall off this way, scared you're going to fall off this way. But why not just fall off on the side that God wants you to be on and seek God with your whole heart instead of falling off on the wrong side? Why not be on the safe side and experience all the blessings and the joy that comes through seeking God with your whole entire heart? And so it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So if we have a heart that's seeking God with our whole heart, then he says, let me not wander from thy commandments. He says that when we are seeking God with our whole heart, we will not wander from God's commandments. I said it's by taking heed according to God's word, right? Well, the commandment is the same as God's word. God's word and his commandments is the same. And if we are seeking God with our whole heart, then we will not wander from God's word. We will take action. We will take heed according to God's word, and then our way will be cleansed. So it's very important that we listen to God's instruction and that we want to have him in our heart fully. And in verse 11, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So God's word we must hide in our heart. And that is through memorization. We can sit down and read a verse in the morning. You can memorize it really quick and you go out through the day and you can think about that verse all day long. There's often a time where I'll read a whole chapter and one verse will pop out to me. And I'll remember that verse the entire day. That's hiding God's word in my heart. When I was young, I memorized hundreds of verses, maybe even thousands of verses. And that has brought me to every day I can have new verses. If I need to think of a verse anytime during the day, I can pop a verse up in my mind that's hidden down there and think about it and quote it to the Lord. And that verse, whether it applies to my life right there at that minute anyways, it's God's word and it's living. It's inside of me. It's hidden in my heart. And so it's important to memorize God's word. And if you're young or if you're old, it's never too late to memorize scripture and to have God's word in your heart. All it has to take is one verse a day. You just memorize it, read the verse in the morning, go throughout the day, think about it, and that verse will stay with you. You'll be surprised how it'll stay with you. I've been really surprised at times when I'm preaching or even not preaching, just talking to someone, and all of a sudden verses and even the references will pop to my mind. And I'm like, where did that come from? And the Holy Spirit brings it up. He brings it out right at the right time, right at the right moment. And I'm never picked. And I'm like, where did that come from? And I was surprised, but I shouldn't be because it's in my heart because God hid it in there. And that's important because how many of you carry your Bible around with you 24/7? Every day, 24/7, you always have a Bible with you. So how can you carry a Bible with you 24/7? It's in your heart. You hide it in your heart. And it says, that I might not sin against thee. So he's saying that if we hide God's word in our heart, we will not sin against God. Well, how is that? I mean, I have God's word hidden in my heart. And how do I, and I still sin, and I still fall. What does that mean, really? Well, he's going back to the first verse by taking heed to God's word. We won't sin. If we take heed according to his word, if we are tempted by the evil one, if we're tempted by our flesh, if we're tempted by the world around us, and we use scripture to say, no, that's wrong, like Jesus did when he was tempted, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He quoted scripture. Why did Jesus quote scripture at the devil when he could have used his own words? Because he was using God's word. He used that for an example that we must use God's word to combat the evil one and combat our own flesh. We cannot use our own words. We cannot say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Because what you put in there, I rebuke you. In Jesus' name, thou art rebuked. And we cannot use scripture. We cannot use our own words. We must use scripture to combat the evil one. We must quote a verse. It doesn't have to apply to your situation. God's word is living. It can be a random verse. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son in the world when a temptation is coming. Just God's word, the devil will flee and he'll run. I personally don't believe that the devil can hear our thoughts or listen to us in our thoughts. He hears us outwardly and hears us talk. So when we're talking out loud, then he's listening to us and he can hear us. And what does the devil flee from? God's word. Because the devil hates God. And he wants to do everything against God. He hates God, so he's trying to go against it. So if we have God's word hidden in our hearts, and we can bring it out immediately, then we won't sin against God because we want to do the right thing, and we want to seek him with our whole heart. So let's go over to Ephesians 6:17. And Ephesians 6:17, starting in verse 10, talks about the armor of God. And I want to bring this up because it really applies to here. So in 6:17, Ephesians, I'm almost there. It says, and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we are to take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Well, the only armor that God gives us to defend ourselves is what? Is the word of God. The only piece of equipment, armor-wise, that he actually gives us to defeat the devil and to defeat our flesh is the word of God. All the rest of them are defensive armor. We are defending ourselves from the evil. We are defending. And if you go back all the way to verse 14, it talks about girding your loins about with truth. It talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And taking on the helmet of, and the shield of faith, holding up the shield of faith. And then it says, and quenching all the, so it quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked, and then the helmet of salvation. And then he says, I give you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So he gives you all these protection armor, which is a lot more protection than your one sword that you're holding out. You would think you could defend yourself or defeat him with the shield of faith, right? No, the shield is not a fighting piece of equipment. It's not for fighting. It's only for protecting yourself, holding it in front of your face, holding it in front of your heart, protecting yourself from the evil one, and that's faith. You can protect yourself, but you will get beat down after a while of protecting yourself if you're not holding up the sword of the Spirit and coming at your enemy with the sword, which is the word of God. You have to battle him down. You have to put him to death by God's word. You cannot do it by yourself. You can't pick up your own sword and try to get him because he won't listen to it. Because he's not scared of me. He's not scared of my flesh. He loves my flesh. He wants to make my flesh stronger. He wants to build it up. He wants my flesh to become stronger than my new body. I always use this example. So God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. So God created us, right? A new body. When I got saved, he created in me a new spiritual body, right? But there's still my old flesh, right? So there's two side by side. Just picture them two side by side. So whatever one you exercise will get stronger, right? If you go out and exercise your body, your muscles will get stronger and stronger, and you can run farther and farther, and you can pick up more and more weight, right? So whatever one you exercise will get stronger. So if you decide to put away the word of God and set it on yourself, and you exercise the flesh, and you go about your day and live your life like you are, this one's going to get stronger and stronger, and then a temptation is going to come, and you're going to fall, and you're going to go, what, Lord? That was too strong of a temptation. I couldn't overcome that. Why? You said no temptation is stronger than I can bear, right? And why did I couldn't overcome that? Why couldn't overcome that? And you keep falling, and you fall on your knees before God and ask God, what should I do? He's like, read the Bible. And here comes the Bible, and now the Bible becomes stronger. And now the Bible is stronger in your life. Now the Bible is over top of your flesh, and you don't even think about your flesh.
Now, the devil comes and tempts your flesh, and you don't even hardly think about it because the Bible is covering it, and he's scared of it. You're using the Bible because you're reading it every day. So now your word of God is stronger than your flesh. The old man is still there. The Bible said it never said he didn't take our old man away. It's still there. But now our flesh is stronger, so we must keep the word of God priority in our life, right? Priority, because if it's not, we're going to fall, and then we're going to wonder, God, why is that temptation too hard for me to bear? Well, it didn't start with the temptation. It started with reading the word of God. It started with keeping your heart right, taking heed to God's word, and doing what God says that he wants you to do. Let's go back to Psalms 119, verse 15. We're going to skip down to 15. And so 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts, which thy precepts is the word of God, and have respect unto thy way. So he says, now he's going back, he says, I want to meditate. Remember I said you need to be reading the word of God every day. You need to hide God's word in your heart. Now you need to meditate on God's word. That's 24/7. And he even talks about in the night season, I meditated on their word. He woke up in the middle of the night and God's word was right there on his mind. You ever wake up and the devil tempts you with a bad thought when you wake up? Anybody ever have that happen? What if you wake up and you have God on your mind and you have a word of God, scripture right there on your mind? Because throughout the entire day before you fell asleep, you were thinking about God and you're thinking about scripture. Anybody ever had that happen where they've been thinking and they wake up and their God's on their mind, first thing on their mind? I have. I've also had the other way too. Sometimes I really like to do this is play Proverbs, Alexander Scorby over out loud all night long, because anytime during the night you wake up and you can hear a proverb, a verse, and it'll mean something to you. Whereas if you wake up in the middle of a chapter of a lineage, you might not get that. But I've enjoyed that because you wake up and you go, the answer not a fool according to his folly, and you go, wow, and you fall back asleep because you heard that scripture. And that's one way to do it. But another way is hiding God's word in your heart. It's right there. You're meditating on God's word. And that's what I want to bring out. Meditate on thy precepts. Thy precepts is God's word. It's just another form of God's word. And he says, I have respect unto thy way. God's way is God's word. God gave us his word so that he can show us his way. And we have respect to God's way. We respect it, and we obey it. Having respect to it is obeying. And then in 16, it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. He says, I will delight. To have delight into something is to be pleasantly pleased with it. You are delighted with it. You're excited to follow God's word. I will delight myself in thy word. In other words, I am happy and enjoying reading God's word. And I can guarantee you, the more you read God's word, the more it becomes a delight to you. And the more you follow it, and the more you obey it, and the more you meditate on it, the more delightful it becomes to you. It becomes a joy and a respect. I can't even explain. It's hard to explain. And if you know what I'm talking about, you're here and you've read God's word and you felt in love with it and you are delighted into it, you will understand what I mean. But we all have times where we have those times where delight and then we fall back away from it. We don't delight so much in it. And we're like, oh, we're going through a dry time where it's just, I don't really like reading the word of God. You know why? There's one thing the devil doesn't want you to do, is read the word of God. And he will do anything to keep you from reading the word of God. He'll bring anything across. He'll make you feel sick. He'll make you have a headache in the morning. He'll do anything that he's allowed to do, that God's allowed him to be able to do, to keep you from reading the word of God. He'll even keep family to keep you from reading the word of God, because he hates the word of God, because he knows it's true. The devil knows it's true, and he makes counterfeits for it. The devil's job, the number one job is the devil, is to counterfeit God.
he is a counterfeit. So he will make something look so much like the truth, but it's not the truth. And we have to use the word of God to discern what the truth is. We cannot just say, oh, that really looks good. That really looks wonderful. But we got to go, what does the scripture say? Does that really line up with scripture? And if it does, then that's right. But if it doesn't, it's a counterfeit.
So, and then let's go jump over to 49, same chapter, 49 and 50. I'll wrap this up here in a little bit. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me.
And the main part I wanted to bring out there is that this is my comfort. God's word is our comfort. When do you least feel like going to God's word? When you're discouraged, when you're sick, when you're hurting, when you're having troubles. That's when we least feel like going to God's word, right? But that's when we need it the most, because it says, it is my comfort. It's what comforts me. And it says, and thy word hath quickened me. What does it mean to be quickened? It means to be made alive, to be made new. When I became a Christian, God quickened me. He made me a brand new creation. He comes in, he takes his word, and he quickens us, and he just encourages us, and he lifts us up, and he gives us strength. So when do you need to be in God's word? Is when you're discouraged and when you're downtrodden. But it may take somebody else to get you there. Realize that? So that's where fellowship comes in play. That's where for not forsaking the assembling of ourselves comes into play. That's where calling your friend on the phone and saying, hey, brother, how's it going today? God gave me this verse to share with you today. Here it is. You may not even know he's discouraged. A lot of people don't go and stand on the housetop and say, hey, guys, I'm discouraged today. Please come and encourage me with some verses. Have you seen anybody doing that? Right? So we need to be discerning, and we need to be watching our brothers and saying, hey, it looks like he's maybe a little discouraged today. What can I give him? There's nothing better you can give him than a verse. Even if he doesn't want it, it'll quicken him and it'll strengthen him. The Bible says it. He promises it. So why not do it for him? Why not want to lift up your brother and encourage him and to strengthen him in God's word? And then the last point here is in Psalms 12, 6, and 7. Go to Psalms, back down to Psalms 12, 6, and 7. It says, the word of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from the generations forever. So one thing I want to bring out to you is that you have to believe that God's word is pure and preserved forever. Like he says right here. And it's been tried in a furnace of fire seven times and it still stands strong. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that the king threw into the fiery furnace. What does the Bible say? They weren't even had the stench of smoke on them. They came out of there smelling like they'd never gone in there. And the Son of God was in there with them. The Word of God was in there with them. What does John say? He was the Word from the beginning. The Word of God was in there with them. And they didn't even smell like smoke. They withstood the furnace of fire. And he says that his word has withstood the furnace of fire. So God's word will always stand strong and pure. And there's a lot of verses that I could bring to you. But you must believe. I mean, I have verses written down. But for the sake of time, I don't think I'm going to go through all the verses here. But that's the last point I have. That God's word is pure. It is preserved. And there's no reason that you can't believe that you must read it every day and you must listen to it and obey it and take heed to it.
So I want to just to recap really quick. I got 7 points of God's word. One, we must listen and obey God's word, as the first verse says in Psalms 119:9. And then two, here, let me go back to that chapter real quick, is to seek God with your whole heart and to not wander away from his commandments. And three, God's word will keep us if we hide it in our hearts. God's word will keep us from sins if we hide it in our heart. And four, God's word is the only weapon against the devil. God's word is the only weapon against the devil. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is the only weapon you have against the devil. Don't try anything else. It's a waste of time. The devil wants you to try other things. He wants you to make you believe that you can try other things, and he fakes it just to come back at you when you have your back at him. Don't believe it. The word of God is the only thing that will stand. And then five, by not forgetting God's word. Don't forget God's word. Always delight in his will, in his word. Always delight in it. And then six, God's word will revive you, and it will strengthen you, and it will encourage you when you are the most discouraged, or even if you're a little bit discouraged, any direction in life you are, or even if you're on the mountaintop and you're super encouraged, God's word will even strengthen you even more, and it'll give you direction where you should be. And then seven, the last and the greatest is God's word is pure. And I want to leave you with that, that God's word is pure. Don't ever doubt that. Don't ever think that God's word, anything you read in God's word, is not preserved and it's not pure, because it is. And he says it over and over again that his word is preserved forever. So with that, I want to close. I don't know if we have a song for invitation, but I want to give a chance to come for an invitation if I want to give an invitation song. But I want to challenge you tonight, is if you're struggling with sin in your life, if you're struggling with being encouraged, if you're struggling with whatever, God's word is the answer, and it's the only answer, and you can find great comfort and joy in that. And I want to challenge you tonight to come up here and to commit yourselves to read God's word every day and to hide it in your heart so you can carry it with you 24/7. So when you wake up in the middle of the night, you have God's word in your heart. Do that. I challenge you tonight to make that commitment to the Lord. And if you are not saved, God's word is the beginning of that. And you must accept Christ in your heart. And then God's word will make all the sense in the world to you, because you will believe that it's pure. If you're not saved, there's no way for you to believe that it's not pure and that it's not right for you, because you don't understand Christ. You must accept him first. That's the foundation of everything. And then you build on that foundation by reading his word every day.